Hi everyone, my name is Parag and this is episode 2 of How to Make a Life, where we talk to people who've built a life doing what they love. On this episode, we have Zain Siddiqui. He is the co-founder of Wicked Bros, which is an artist collective with a focus on street art, and they are looking at injecting art into everything that they see around them. Zain, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Parag, for getting in touch with me, and it's a privilege to be on this show with you and look forward to it.
Awesome. Now, to the average person, when we think about graffiti or street art, we're imagining people in hoodies tagging walls under cover of night and being chased by cops, right? Now, that's the average perception, but how much of this is true in India? What is the scene really like? And talk to me about how it is moving from an anti-establishment and underground endeavor to a more mainstream scene.
Okay, so I'd like just to break this down into a couple of answers. First is that really the average perception of the person to think that people are in hoodies and running from cops? Or is it just your perception?
So when I look at possibly my perception, because when I look at a tag wall, I don't know if that's legal. I don't have a problem with it either, but I love the art. I don't know if that's legal. I don't know if these guys did it when nobody was looking. Either way, I admire it. It's beautiful. And for an average person like me, who, you know, isn't really immersed in the art world, I don't know how this stuff works, right?
So maybe you seem to be more informed than the average person, to be honest, because the fact that you know what graffiti is and the fact that you know what a tag is means that you've read up a little bit about it. The reality is that the average Indian does not know that graffiti exists in India. The average Indian does not know what a tag is. So that's first of all the reality. The second thing is, you're pretty much spot on when you say what a graffiti artist looks like. He's wearing a hoodie or has long hair, or probably, you know, is like dressed up in these cool casuals as a hip hop head and runs around with spray cans in the night and tags walls, does his pieces. So that's what it is. That's what the culture of graffiti is. It started with the Western countries, specifically, let's say New York, where Taki 153, this was the name of the writer who was very famous early back in the 70s. So all these young kids would go around running, and it comes from this whole perception that, you know, like we are a repressed people. And as a youngster, you want to represent yourself. You want to kind of showcase that you exist. You know, that's the whole, now whether you do it through graffiti or through music or through rap or, you know, beatboxing or b-boying, these are all different forms of hip hop, breaking. So, graffiti kind of fits in that perspective. Coming to your second question, which is, what was the second question? It was about that getting mainstreamed, right?
Yes, going from underground to mainstream. Where on the journey are we in India?
Right now, we are actually, it's an interesting thing with India right now, like, because I see it from both the perspectives, right? I see it from having been there, done a little bit of tagging myself, although I teach digital marketing, people wouldn't associate me with this.
Okay.
But I've been to the cops and they've been to my hotel room and that whole scene has happened. But I've also seen the other side of the scene where, you know, we are dealing with government officials. The collector of the city is calling us and asking us to paint streets. So in that perspective, India has actually skipped one entire big step. The step of accepting graffiti as such, because honestly, people just don't accept graffiti even now, and I don't see them accept graffiti as such. And there's no reason for people to actually accept it also, because I mean, although I do support graffiti artists and I come very close in touch with them always, that hanging out with them, but it is vandalism and we need to accept it as it is, and they don't shy away from that.
Fair enough.
So you know, so it wouldn't probably get accepted. So in the West, what happened was the governments, they are seeing this graffiti happen. And then it has evolved to street art now decades. Here, what has happened is art was already a very evolved culture. Indian civilization comes, you know, from 10,000 old origins. So art was already evolved. We had Gond art, we had Varli art, we had now Rajasthani miniature and Pichwai paintings and so on and so forth. So for us to paint on the wall was not a new thing in the Indian culture as such. And now for the government to adopt street art, they've directly gone to these older Indian traditions. Like, for example, we did this project with HCL Foundation here in Noida, and they wanted us to paint Gond art, which is a traditional okay. Indian art.
Right.
So for them, this whole perception of graffiti as such doesn't really exist, and they don't want to know about it either. They're going directly to the street art, to the mainstream. And if you see what is happening through Swachh Bharat Abhiyan, government has allocated to all the smart cities, 100 smart cities. They've been allocated a budget for beautification based on their Swachh Sarvekshan ranking as such.
Okay.
So the city and state governments are taking initiative under that, and they are actively trying to beautify the walls. And for that purpose, yes, the graffiti artists, because they specialize on walls, like us, let's say the Wicked Bros, we ended up being one of the front runners in getting some of these works done.
Right.
But honestly, anyone and everyone, right from a sign painter to an evolved fine artist, is now involved in this street art scene with the governments across India.
Okay. So I want to talk about the government involvement a little later, but I want to talk about the artists right now, right? Now, art is unlike any other tangible product that we consume. And you've talked about on your blog as well, the value of art is intangible, even as the piece itself is tangible. How yes. then would a new artist go about pricing their art now that it's come onto the mainstream? And leaving aside demand for the brand that you've probably already built with your persona or whatever other platform you've had before?
No. See, art, as I said, is the value of art is intangible. Art itself is a tangible thing in terms of a canvas or a sculpture or something right. that you paint or probably make also. So, as you just said, the branding of that artist and also his art piece carries the weight of the pricing. That's
okay.
Kind of the lump sum game. If you start pricing it in terms of how much square feet have we done, or square meter or square inch, like when you do canvases, it's a square inch. The value will be it will not be justified, then you are competing with wallpapers and posters in that
right.
case. And that happens, when we get these calls for various street art, 90% of the cases, and I keep telling everyone this, people, 95% of the cases, people don't care who you are.
Okay.
They don't care.
All right.
They call you because they just saw your number on Google or on Facebook or Instagram, and they just get excited. Arre, mere ko bhi graffiti karwane ka hai. When they say graffiti, they don't realize it's not tags. It's actually some portrait or some anything on the wall. They call it as graffiti. So they don't care who you are as an artist. They'll compare your pricing with somebody else's, and they'll probably go with somebody else if they're priced lower. That's
right.
what it is.
Can get very competitive then.
It is very competitive.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, because it's such a low bar, no? Anyone can pick up a paint and start. So it's a bit like digital marketing these days. I teach digital marketing also. So there also anyone can get up and say, I'm a content writer, I'm a designer. How are you going to qualify that?
Got it. Okay. Now let's take a step back and look at the whole art ecosystem on the whole, right? It's currently a fairly unorganized sector. Well, things are changing, and it's traditionally lacked a solid support ecosystem. What accounted to you are the different pieces of a strong ecosystem? What role do collectives like Wicked Bros and institutions and art schools play? And what do we need more of on an infrastructure level?
Very interesting question, because as you rightly pointed out, art is, if not the most, then probably one of the most unorganized sectors here in India. If I'm looking at, let's say, the ecosystem as such, if you ask me to define it, it's fairly varied, because you have... from the top, let's say, I genuinely don't know any. There is obviously the Arts and Culture Ministry, probably. I don't even know, first of all, what is that ministry? Because they don't play a big role as such. Like, I don't see them doing anything, the government as such, on a larger... apart from this Swachh Bharat thing, I haven't really seen. have a couple of institutions like the Lalit Academy is there. So these are some government institutions. But other than that, these are the others are generally state or like, you know, private collectives. Like, for example, there is Kiran Nadar Museum of Art. There's JJ School of Art. These are the more prominent institutions which are actually supporting the arts movement as such. So, so from what I see, it's basically the philanthropy which is majorly supporting art that way. If you come one level down from there, then you have smaller collectives like ours. I wouldn't say we are a collective as such. We are more of a organization because collective would mean then there are like, you know, a lot of artists who are working with me. They're not.
Right.
They are working with me, but not in the organizational part.
Sure.
We are kind of running the community with them. It's called Street Art United separately, we've called it. So yeah, there are 500 street artists over there. Likewise, there are so many other collectives, communities out there in India, state-wise as well as art-wise as well. So that's the second level. Then at the third level, you have these individual artists themselves who are functioning to support them. By the way, we have such amazing paint companies like Camlin, Asian Paint, Speedlight, so and so forth. I think that's kind of the ecosystem, apart from the fact that, you know, you have these consumers who could be interior designers, it could be real estate owners, it could be homeowners, cafes, lounges, anyone who, you know, wants their home decor, interior space done, essentially, right from the government itself, obviously, being one of the main clients as such. If you, let's say, recall the Ram Sutar Unity project, that was 3,000 crores.
So
the government is actually promoting it, but only where it kind of interests them as such to use art.
Got it. Now, I want to talk about this whole demand side of art, right? So graffiti, generally in India, what I've seen is it's been mimicking pop culture references from the West, graffiti coming in from the West. But things are evolving now, right? Everybody's bringing in their own little flavor. And as an industry, how is it evolving from where are we right now on the scale of artists doing art just for its own sake to producing art purely based on demand?
It's an unfortunate scene because I would say it's almost like, I don't know, with some of the, it depends, first of all, artist to artist, like, you know, the amateurs are, of course, creating art more for the sake of art. And the professionals are creating art more for the sake of commercials as such.
Right.
So it depends who you are asking the question to, like, is it a beginner or a professional? Because there are professionals who don't find time to do their own art also sometimes.
Right.
Like, you know, there are, they are so in demand always.
Right.
Absolutely. All the time.
All right. Now, I want to talk about, again, collectives and organizations in the whole art ecosystem. Something I've seen in many other art ecosystems, or generally in industries, is these organizations end up devolving into cliques where you have to play ball with one group or another in order to get work, right? How do you prevent this from happening and make sure it's a more... it's a democracy in that term? And how can a solo artist who doesn't want to sort of align with one group or the other flourish?
So, I mean, there are so many platforms, first of all, let's be honest. I mean, I may not have mentioned all of them, and probably there wouldn't be any directory of all of them. I don't recall anywhere being a directory as such, but if you look at the art ecosystem in India, there is actually a lot of options. Like, for example, you have Mojarto, which is one of the ventures from NDTV, which is, I mean, we're not talking street art here. We're talking art in general, what you just said. So there's the India Art Fair, which happens every day, every year. There's Saffron Art. So there are so many museums and galleries out there, online and offline, who are there. So an artist can actually choose where he wants to go. Yes, it is hard sometimes to get an entry. Let's say, for example, I've heard that sometimes there's a, you have to wait for years to be able to get a show in JJ School, JJ Gallery.
Wow.
So yeah, from the very prestigious will be very hard to get into. You have to play ball there. The easy ones, there's no easy ones actually. इट कुड बी योर ओन फ्रेंड्स होम. इनफैक्ट आई रिकॉल दिस वन आर्टिस्ट हु सेड
राइट
के जैन मैं तो अपने घर में ही कर लेता हूँ, आप सब आ जाना. मैंने बोला ओके. एंड देन देयर इज स्ट्रीट आर्ट ऑफ कोर्स, द होल पॉइंट ऑफ स्ट्रीट आर्ट बीइंग लेट्स नॉट गो टू द गैलरीज,
या
लेट्स पुट इट आउट ऑन द स्ट्रीट्स. So the ecosystem has evolved and the internet. So first of all, the artist has a lot of choice. Secondly,
right.
if he feels constrained, then there is the platform of public spaces, like in the world of street art or the
okay.
internet.
Right.
I mean, there are countless examples now in our own Indian scene where people have grown from the internet or from the public street art space without the help of any of the collectives or art galleries or government and have made it big now. Purely because now they become influencers thanks to the individual work they do. So there's actually a lot of freedom.
That's really cool, right? And I want to talk about, how this is sort of permeating throughout the country. Now, just like every place has its own, every region or country has its own unique brand of art. How are you seeing the difference play out across regions in India? Is there a difference? What is the landscape like? What are some of the cities, where you'd like to make special note of the street art happening there?
Of course, the major urban cities are actually where the major street art scene is actually happening.
Right.
So if you look at it, we started our journey from Mumbai. So we see it as a hub for ourselves. Right now I'm in Noida and probably Delhi has a decent street art scene. It's very active in Chennai, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Kolkata to some extent. So these are like the major places. Apart from this, the cities like Indore, Lucknow, Jaipur also, you'll find a lot of street art, or Kochi, for example, because the Kochi Biennale happens there. So majorly the main urban cities is where the street art is happening.
Okay. And do you see a difference in the kind of art that's being produced in different cities? If you were to sort of pick out flavors of all of these different places, is there something you could, is there a marker?
Depends on the artists actually over there,
okay.
Because for example, I can, like, if I was to just talk about graffiti as such,
sure.
The local language is something which has just picked up in the last couple of years. I mean, earlier, I remember earlier on, very few artists would actually do tags or write their pieces in their own language.
Right.
Now in the last couple of years, people have started doing this in their own local language as well. So in Chennai, you find people doing this, something called Tamiz graffiti, which is only for, in the Tamil tongue. And now you have people doing it in Marathi and so on and so forth. So that's there. In Kolkata, you see Bengali graffiti. So there's these local flavors of graffiti, and similarly with the rest of the mural portraits and street art scene as well, people are busy painting their local heroes. So for example, again, I know you asked me not to mention any political references, but there were these kids in Assam who were painting somebody who was a press freedom fighter as such, like kind
All
of
right.
like an activist or something. So everybody's busy painting their local heroes. In Pune, you have somebody who did Thackeray on a very large wall.
Right.
You have Ranjit Daya who paints Amitabh Bachchan on, 252 feet story buildings. So people want to have their local heroes.
All right. That makes sense. Okay. Now, I want to talk about where these artists grow from, right? A lot of artists start sort of really young. But in a country obsessed with grades and conventional respectability, how much is the mold breaking among families, or is the mold breaking, or is it just a generational change that we just have to wait for?
Can you just repeat this question?
Sure. Now, generally, Indian folks are obsessed with conventional respectability, right? Go to school, get a degree, and get a respectable job. How much more willing are people and their families to, allow their kids to just sort of go out and experiment, just do this right from a young age and maybe do it full time and not have to think about getting a degree or doing something normal?
I think the scene has changed drastically in the last 10 years. I remember, just yesterday I was having this conversation with my mom. I wanted to be a football player and play for Manchester United when I was in class 12. So it was a big no back then, and people would be afraid, "Arey ye nahi padega to kya karega?" kind of stuff. But now with the internet, there's so many possibilities. People have woken up to that. And
right.
And the ones who are trying, who are courageous enough, are actually getting the results as well. And that kind of further motivates the others to follow through. So if you are in that street art graffiti scene, there are a lot of people to look forward to, who are doing things, who are holding the beacon for you. And you just need to take those steps, and your families are going to support you. Let's say, for example, I know this guy, I mean, not from the street art scene, but let's say somebody who's a breaker. Okay, this guy has won Red Bull BC One, which is a global breaking competition, which is organized in India as well. The India chapter, he's won it 3 times. And he was the sole Indian in the world finals this year, last year when it happened here in Mumbai.
So,
if you look at his parents, they're so supportive. They're so happy. They're like, "Arey, jab ye chota bachcha tha, we would think what crazy things he's doing, breaking his head."
Right.
But now they're so happy ke ye TV pe aata hai. He's a judge on Dance India Dance. And the pride, you can see that in the parents. And whenever I visit my friends also who are street artists, if I go to their houses, parents are very supportive and they feel proud, you know, like that's what the parents want. I mean, it's still uncertain in terms of income because that's their, you know, middle class aspiration ke iska income hona chahiye.
Yeah.
But that's also catching up, like people are getting paid well if you can market yourself decently.
And that's the next thing I want to talk about, right? Internationally, you've got artists like Banksy who became popular because of his street art and now his works are selling for millions of dollars. Do we have that kind of market for street art or for that kind of art in India?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Because, I mean, forget street art, even the fine art scene, we don't have a market like that. Because honestly, what Banksy is doing is in the fine art scene, by the way. So yes. Christie's, Sotheby's, that's where his paintings get sold.
Yeah.
There's an evolution of Shepard Fairey and all these guys from the street art scene to then go into the fine art scene, which is fine, great. It's slowly happening in India as well. Very recently, actually, in Method Art Gallery in Bombay, you had Tyler, who is like called the Banksy of India, do his first show, his first solo gallery show. So yes, you can say we are taking baby steps. There's Anpu Varke, who's like one of the oldest street artists in India. And she has published a book called Summer's Children, and that has got featured in you know, US as well, and she got a gallery show at KNMA as well. So the street artists in India are evolving slowly, very slowly, steadily, but it'll take a very long time to get there, because art in general, by the way, you must keep that in perspective, is nowhere even close to the UK, US or whatever Japanese, Chinese markets.
Right. Okay. Now, there's been a rise in graffiti across all sorts of neighborhoods in the country, right? And we've also seen a lot of imagery coming in from so-called marginalized neighborhoods across the country. Like you might have seen graffiti in places like Dharavi, right? And they seem to be done by artists who are not from Dharavi. They're a lot more well-to-do and they can sort of afford to do this. And the place is Dharavi, but the art isn't. So it seems like it's an affordability issue. What do you think needs to happen to make graffiti more accessible for everyone?
We need more workshops. That's why workshops exist.
Okay. All right.
So very recently, I mean, I can talk about Dharavi because we worked with the Dharavi project, which is, you know, project sponsored by Kyunki. It's an A.R. Rahman project which sponsors them. So they have a school in Dharavi where they teach hip hop, breaking and rapping and graffiti. And I've been part of that initiative on the fringes for the last 3-4 years. So I've been seeing what's happening and there's some amazing stuff happening there. Kids are getting supported. You know, I mean, the payment as such may not be so great, but the exposure is there. You know, those people are actually trying. Slum Gods is another organization based out of Dharavi. Then you have in the rap circle, there is Dopetelix. There is Swadesi, which doesn't come from Dharavi as such, but they keep performing over there. There is Dharavi United in general. And of course, you've seen the movie, the Gully Gang, which came from there. So when you talk about Dharavi or the rest of the slums as well, obviously Dharavi gets a lot of footage because of the glorification as such. But the rest of the slum area, there is a lot of stuff happening and it will continue to happen because these artists, these rappers, these they all come with this feeling, KR, mujhe job to waise bhi nahi milna hai. So let me try doing something with which
Okay.
probably I can, you know, I mean, I see this in general, by the way, in Indian society, where a lot of these artists, they flourish when they come from marginalized backgrounds, because they don't have probably anything to lose as such.
Right.
And I see that as sometimes an advantage for them. And when you say that art is not affordable to them, that's again not true, because
okay.
Paint hardly cost anything. Okay. Like you may say कि अरे 1 लीटर का पेंट कितने का आता है, 1 लीटर का पेंट आपको 400-500 रुपए में आ जाएगा.
Right.
1 लीटर में आप पूरा घर, यू नो, घर तो नहीं, बट यू कैन काइंड ऑफ डू अ वेरी लार्ज वॉल इन 1 लीटर पेंट प्रोबब्ली. सो इट्स जस्ट द क्वेश्चन ऑफ हाउ मेनी वर्कशॉप्स आर वी गोइंग टू डू, हाउ मेनी CSRs आर सपोर्टिंग अस,
ओके,
एंड हाउ मेनी पीपल आर वी रीचिंग आउट टू. द रेस्ट पीपल कैन जस्ट टेक इट अप इन देयर हैंड्स एंड डू इट देमसेल्व्स. वी डोंट नीड टू हैंड होल्ड देम, वी जस्ट नीड दैट फर्स्ट टच. And we've seen it so many times, multiple times. Like this young boy in Gurgaon, he was studying in a school called Saksham. We did a small street art convention in Gurgaon in Sector 46.
Okay.
He just came over there as a helper. Like, you know, ke the teacher had said, "Arey, isko bhi use kar lo. He's just there. He's an artist. He learns taekwondo." He made an amazing 3D street art piece over there. He's a wonderful artist. So, and then later on, he goes on and creates more stuff himself. So there is... you know, the
so
art will come
of,
from there.
So it's just a matter
just
of
a matter of
then.
Absolutely, just a matter of how many workshops are we doing and making them exposed to this stuff. And also one more thing to keep, there's a clause over there, because
okay,
the moment you start doing this as a CSR or as a workshop to do exposure and, you know, stuff, there are also CSRs and organizations or brands who then kind of use this as a big PR opportunity.
Okay.
Which they have.
Right.
And they will continue to probably do it. So that's the flip side. I'm just pointing that out. Like,
sure.
For them, everybody who comes up and says, "Kya re, mujhe CSR karna hai," toh they want a slum for that. So that's kind
right.
of sad.
Okay. That's a take I haven't heard before. But yeah. So in every decade, there seems to be a certain flavor to it, right? Whether in terms of the aesthetic or the message that's going out. And it builds upon whatever used to be in the previous years. What do you think the next decade is going to look like for street art? What kind of styles are you seeing develop right now? And what are some of the, you know, sort of hotspots in the ecosystem?
I see a great future for street art in India, because
okay.
as I said, being a third world country, we are kind of skipping past some of the major milestones that first world countries had to go through.
Right.
So as I explained, like, you know, kids are going directly from you know, their sketch pens and sketch pads to doing large scale portraits on walls. Like, they're not even doing graffiti anymore or tagging or stuff. They're like, kyun karne ka hai, jab paisa to udhar se milna hai na, you're going to get
right.
the money from street art. So let me just skip directly to there. And the second thing being not just, by the way, just the murals, the sculptures as well, or
right.
any other form of this public space. So the more awareness we are getting, the more internet we are seeing, the more aspiration we are seeing in people to kind of replicate that. So
right.
we already have people who are doing, let's say, 3D street art pieces, you know.
Wow.
And we are already seeing certain projects. Let's say there's this one project that was done by START organization. They had an artist called Bond come over.
Okay.
And he did a augmented reality piece. So we have augmented reality, virtual reality. In Bombay, we've seen 3D projection mapping projects happen. So there's a lot of this tech which is now going to come in the next decade. That is the future. And people are already equipped with iPads now, by the way. And
right.
a lot of these illustrators who are ready with, you know, in fact, that is one of my side projects, to kind of like motivate as many illustrators
right.
out there to kind of come on to the streets, because they're doing amazing stuff online on
okay.
Instagram. We want them outside on the streets, man. That's where
right.
The people want to see that stuff. So I'm trying to encourage them. And I think that happens one artist at a time. Again, workshops, these free opportunities to come and paint. We're doing all these projects. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to have a very exciting future.
No, it is exciting, right? Especially when, since you talked about tech, the possibilities are just going to go, I don't know, multifold, right? There's
Absolutely.
No limit to what you can do with tech now. So
yes.
it's going to be interesting to see what the next few years have to offer. Now, art festivals have been popping up across the country in bits and pieces for years now. And I think we have one street art festival, I think, by the Start Foundation in India. Do you see more of these coming up? What does it take to organize one of these? And what role does a corporate or the government play in supporting them?
So there are honestly a lot of festivals coming across. Like Start is obviously an inspiration for all of us in the public space. But apart from them, obviously we are trying at Wicked Pros. We did the ladies' first street art festival last year, which was the first women's street art festival, and got a lot of traction because you know girls were so excited to paint. I mean, and that was something unique for them. Apart from that, there is Walk for Bihar, which happened. Abhishek Kumar Singh organized that. There's the Zero Fest, which happened in Arunachal. And a lot of music fests are also now incorporating the art in general. Like, for example, Tech Fest, IIT Bombay, every year for the last about 10 years, they've been inviting graffiti artists to come and paint. VH1 Super...
Echoes of the Earth, which happens in Bangalore every year. So they also have a lot of street art incorporated into the venue.
Yes. So the music festivals themselves, like we again painted at VH1 Supersonic this year in Pune.
Right.
So that's happening. That's encouraging all of us. And I think in general, the most important thing for these fests is responsible people, honestly, to be able to handle it and take the initiative, because I've seen where people take the initiative and are smart enough, they are doing well.
All right.
Then there are a lot of people who speak about it and dream about it, but can't pull it off. Okay. Because at the end of the day, there are a lot of people who dream. I mean, obviously, all of us dream. Kya re, street art fest hona chahiye, ya phir some music fest should happen. But do you know what it takes to get it organized? Like, apart from OML, how many organizations have successfully for the last 10 years organized an NH7 or something?
Yeah.
So that's the big question. Like, doing a one version is not enough. That's not what's going to excite the corporate. Corporate is going to be excited by, you know, like an OML with NH7. Bacardi is full on with them because they've pulled it off. Asian Paints is full on with Start because they pulled it off for 6 years. Right. So it's the consistencies. We need those kind of people, and that's something the industry generally struggles with, honestly.
Okay.
So it's those manpower, like we need the manpower, more organized people to commit to such kind of causes. In the beginning, I know it doesn't benefit you that much, but I've seen some very inspirational stories of, let's say, you know, the Control Alt Delete Fest, which has been happening for almost the last 10 years.
Right.
Nikhil Uduppa has been running it solo with his team and organizing the first metal fest in India. And then they had a hip hop fest to it, and now they're recently, like, you know, just going a full flea market with that, and they got sponsors on board and crowdfunding it. So the consistency, I think the right people is all that it takes. Baki part lene sab aa jate hain, everybody wants to be a part of it.
Okay. You know, I want to come back to street art going mainstream, right? What are the different outlets for it to do so? Is it just about improving upon existing infrastructure, or in future, are we going to see things like the language of street art on billboards, bus stops, advertisements, and so on and so forth?
Street art going mainstream?
Yeah.
I don't know, first of all, that, you know, it's a bit of a difficult question because the allure, as you might call it that word, of street art is in its underground nature, first of all. You know, anything that becomes too commercial, too out there, then kind of starts to lose its shine after a point of time. So, first of all, I mean, for the whole thing to survive or to keep its charm, it should not go commercial or full scale mainstream. Secondly, you do want it more accepted. You do want it in more places. You do want more people in the scene as such, which is happening, which will happen. And it's already there on bus stops and billboards and so on and so forth. It's just that these corporates kind of, because the government is doing its thing. I mean, as far as I can say, hats off to the Swachh Bharat mission. I mean, knowingly or unknowingly, they have incentivized these cities to beautify themselves.
Right.
Now, whether they copy the, you know, artwork from different places without even taking copyright, they're posting everything and painting it. That's another thing. And, you know, let's say, for example, in Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, they just like painted the entire city in Hindu religious artwork.
Okay.
Now, so the or in, let's say, cases of Indore Smart City, they painted it completely just with, you know, leaves and patterns. Right. No sensibility out there. Like, what is the whole meaning of this artwork? Nothing. Just want to make it clean. Okay.
Right.
So the government is doing its part, which is okay, fine. They need more curation at that point. But at the same time, the corporates need to do their bit by being more adventurous.
Okay.
And I mean, because if they want to do these guerrilla campaigns, which they come to us with, or they want to, you know, use street art to its full benefit, they need to take that leap of faith.
Right.
And it's a new medium for them. I've seen so many of them come to us and then, you know, just like kind of cancel the campaign at the last moment because probably the cost is too high or they don't understand how this whole thing works and and who's going to do all this. So the trust factor, I think we need more successful campaigns happen for corporates to invest more in it, not just as advertising, but also as CSR, probably if they want to do it in the way that, let's say, Asian Paints is doing.
Okay.
Empire Foundations, by the way, did a wonderful campaign with Chal Rang De, and I think CRED did one nice little Wings campaign with my friends in Pune. So there's a little bit happening, but we need more leap of faith from the corporates.
Now, I want to go back to something you just said about how you would prefer the scene stay small so that it maintains its edge. Now, I've seen this sentiment among in various fields, right? In music, if the guy makes it to the, if the artist makes it mainstream, suddenly he's not cool anymore, right? Or people hate on him for that, on them for that. Why is this? Why wouldn't you want your favorite artist to get successful and, you know, be more well-known and make more money?
No, we want people to make more money, obviously.
Right.
Nobody hates you for that.
Sure.
But I was giving you a more, let's say, motivational reason, more human emotional reason for things not to become so mainstream, you know, because mainstream also has its limits at some point. So like, what's
how
the
much
thing,
is
let's
too
say,
mainstream?
Yeah, how much is too much kind of a thing?
Right.
Because let's say, I mean, case in point, let's say, let's take Banksy. I mean, if you know what's happening with him, the guy says something and does something.
Right.
Okay. He says he's against capitalism, but he's the most sold out artist ever in the world.
Right.
So, like, you know, like you start to question yourself, first of all, on the ethics of this whole thing.
Right.
And then secondly, as I said, like once it becomes too mainstream also, it loses its charm. And it's a genuine fact, honestly. Like anyone who knows branding would tell you this, that you have to have a niche. You need to have exclusivity. Let's say, for example, iPhone. If iPhone prices drop to, you know, 10,000 rupees like a Redmi, Xiaomi Note 4,
it loses its value.
Buy iPhone it loses its value, even though the functionality is kind of the same.
Okay.
Right? But it's just the branding that you don't want it to go mainstream if you don't want it to have it.
Do you think we're headed our way to hit that wall with the way things are growing in India right now?
Not even close, honestly.
Okay.
As I said, not even close, because the art scene is miles and miles, civilizations behind US, Japan, China, and, you know, the Western markets. So I would really want it to go mainstream if that it, if that is what is going to take to get to that level also. I'm happy to see it actually go mainstream, because we're just way too far behind. So that's something we should not be concerned about right now.
All right. Let's talk about the role of philanthropy in art, right? In the West, there have been a lot of institutionalized philanthropy supporting the art movement. And there's a lot of money, literally billions of dollars in it, right? Do you see institutionalized philanthropy playing a large role in the rise of street art in India? Or is the future for independent creators of art who are creating functional pieces?
Independent wale to, they do their stuff. Let's say, for example, there's this guy. Again, like I I'm using this as a platform to give
Sure.
shout outs here and there to all the
No
people I
worries.
know, as you can see. So there is Badal. I can't pronounce his full name,
Okay.
but he's an artist based out of Bangalore and he does amazing work on the streets. In fact, he's been doing it for the last 5 years. He does like topical street art, like a lot of these street artists do. And
Okay.
recently in the corona pandemic, he utilized this situation to kind of, you know, use Titanic and the mask
Right.
and Thanos. He did
Right.
all these themes with respect to the mask situation, and it went viral.
Okay.
So that was wonderful. So there are, and Tyler is there, and there's Guess Who in Kochi and Bangalore.
Right.
So people are doing these topicals and trying to get into the limelight here and there, and they're doing that part. That is
Right.
amazing, but that's not going to really cut it for everyone else, right? That's a very
Okay.
individual scene for you.
Yeah.
So for everyone else, it needs to be institutionalized with the philanthropy, which is happening bit by bit. So as I pointed
Okay.
out, there was KNMA, which is doing its bit, and they have painted a lot of Gondart art here in Noida. There's
Right.
the Serendipity Arts Fest, which is happening. I think, if I'm not wrong, it's sponsored by the Birlas. I mean, you can do a fact
Right.
check on that. I'm not
Sure.
sure. But Serendipity Art Fest is a philanthropic venture.
Okay.
And so on and so forth. So the major scenes as such, Asian Paints with their philanthropy CSR
Right.
is sponsoring Start. So yeah, it will come from the philanthropy as such. As of now, what I can see, apart from whatever government can pull in.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, street art, like you've mentioned earlier, is not just about graffiti, right? Can you tell us about what other forms of street art are people practicing now? And is the stage, and how is the stage getting bigger?
So graffiti is just like a, I think, very small part of the street art thing. I mean, it's the
Right.
most known thing name-wise,
Like
because
the flag
everyone
bearer.
refers to it. Yeah, flag bearer in terms of a name, you know, anything on the wall, I call it graffiti.
Yeah.
But is everything graffiti? No.
Right.
Graffiti is just the tags and the pieces or the stylized fonts, essentially, that people make.
Right.
But in reality, is graffiti on the walls a big part? No, it's just like 5%, probably, just like a very minuscule part of the street art which is happening.
Okay.
The major part of the street art which is happening are portraits. That's something which always people love.
Right.
Landscapes happen sometimes. Or you might not call it street art as such. It's more like wall art since it's indoors. But
Right.
restaurants, offices, houses, you know, rich people, they love their walls getting painted
Right.
either with their own name or paint or faces, landscape, something like that. So a
Right.
lot of the commercial, at least the wall art space, is filled with these indoor spaces within offices. And then when you see on the streets again, a lot of the work is happening on projects where, you know, people just go and do usually portraits and stuff, and
Right.
that's where it is. Other than that, I think the government, as I pointed out, all these
Okay.
government projects, they take
Right.
the lead with whatever then the government asks you, usually some kind of aesthetic Indian style.
Right.
That's what goes. And in some rare cases, when you have special projects, let's say, you know, I talked about the 3D projection mapping, which happened, and a couple of
Right.
All these art festivals, they provide some amazing street art always. They give freedom to the artist. And we saw that at Ladies First as well. We painted a 80-foot Asian flycatcher bird over there on the wall.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, things are happening. But these are the major things apart from on the wall.
Okay.
And if you take the wall out, then you have, you know, everything else. So in everything
Right.
else, you have sometimes installations. Badal, you know, once in Bangalore, he put a crocodile, rubber
Okay.
crocodile, on the road,
right,
to stop the traffic and highlight the situation of potholes to the people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was something crazy. And you have these waste organizations, by the way, coming forward doing a lot of waste installations. In fact, the Odisha government last year organized an entire waste art festival. So you had artists from across the globe come and create such amazing pieces out of metallic waste. So yeah, that's
the whole
happening.
Upcycling movement come into play.
Yes, absolutely. The upcycling movement is coming into play. So this kind of stuff is, and of course, the Rangoli, which happens in India generally, that's so amazing.
Right.
So Rangoli and such similar stuff
That's
is
a
happening.
traditional street art.
Absolutely.
Now, talk to me a little bit about your work with Wicked Bros, right? Why did you start it? Who is it for? And how do you choose the artists that you work with?
So who is it for? Wicked Bros, the organization is... it's a very tough question. What do you mean by who is it for?
Who are you helping?
Who we were helping? We are basically, I would say, sitting and trying to weave together an ecosystem.
Okay.
Because as I pointed out in the beginning, it's a very unorganized sector. Like even for me to understand how many art residencies we have in India right now, no idea. Like I know right. 5-6 probably, but okay. The average artist doesn't know 5-6 also. So that's the thing, to create a community of artists and provide them employment or opportunities in terms of like, you know, just CSR opportunities or getting them to collaborate or, okay. or as I pointed out, like getting illustrators out on the streets as much as possible, right. Doing the Ladies First Festival to try and get the female artists out on the street as much as possible. Getting and the second thing is to make the corporates and the governments and the peoples kind of also accept this along the way.
Right.
And to service them, first of all, through the commercial piece that we can okay. do or using cost-based, you know, NGO projects. Like, for example, we are doing this project in Gautan in Marol right now in Andheri East, where right. it's a 200-year-old establishment in Marol of East Indian, Anglo-Indians. And the government has, BMC has classified that as a slum area.
Okay.
So we are now painting over there and just like, you know, reviving some of their memories and culture onto the walls. So that is something that we are doing. So that's the idea to weave together this this architecture of the ecosystem in which, right. by the way, your art residencies, so we have art residencies in our community. We have okay. artists, obviously. We have also all our clients, governments, NGOs involved. We helped the Waste Warrior NGO over there so many times. We've done projects with them. And the paint companies, we're working with paint companies, spray right. can companies, Camlin, Fevicryl, you know,
so do you,
many of them.
Do you approach artists or do the artists approach you when they want to be a part of your the ecosystem that you're trying to build?
It's both ways. I mean, depends okay. who comes in contact with whom. So that's what it is. And it all started off with... not as this in mind, honestly. We didn't think right. it was this complex. We didn't think okay. we'd wanted to kind of wade into it so deep.
What did you set out to do initially?
Initially, it was just like some kind of a, you know, fun project. Like everything starts. Meko art karne ka hai, toh chalo art se, let's try and make art as our career. And we tried to do that initially. And we were selling water bottles painted and we were selling t-shirts and... coasters painted and stuff and everything under the roof, you know, like we were this right. collective. So that's when we used to use the word collective, by the okay. way, because it was truly a collective as such of just handful of friends we all knew. But soon we realized so many flaws in that system, like, you know, people okay. wouldn't know what to make. There's a branding problem. There's an organization problem. And so we kind of charted our own way through and now we are knee-deep in the graffiti street art movement where we're trying to weave, as I said, this ecosystem together with all the organizations and artists as well.
Awesome. You know, I'm really excited to see where this whole movement is going to go because I'm already seeing a lot of beautiful work out there in person and on the internet. And it's really yes. cool that you're part of it and I'm definitely going to be following up on your work. But before we end this, I have to ask, can you tell us about the police incident where you had to go to the cops because I just want people out there to know what they can expect when they get up to this.
Yeah, that was kind of unfortunate and I hope never to repeat it. But
all right.
So you know, as I said, like I do hang out with the graffiti artist. I'm not exactly the guy you would expect to be doing graffiti because I teach digital marketing. I'm, you know, sure. working with all these corporates and working out strategies with them. So you can imagine this whole 9-to-5 kind of entrepreneur or a
right.
cool stuff. But I used to sketch and I have this and I still do Photoshop designs for all my clients and stuff. So there's obviously this creative side which gets fulfilled through Wicked Bros. And for one of our projects, we went to a smart city. For okay. a street art fest, I was invited there as a curator, by the way, to okay. kind of to organize the fest. And I had 2-3 days of time to kill before the fest would begin and the artists started arriving. So I was in my hotel room, and one day I just went to the smart city office and came back. And I did not realize this, but while coming back, and by the way, that was the time when I would just carry a spray can across to kind of get my hands onto the spray can and get that feel of it. Because, you know, at some level, I was inspired truly by the graffiti tagging scene.
Right.
So I was tagging a wall, and what happened was the next day, so I tagged it. I went home. I went to the hotel room. Next day at the smart city office, while going to the smart city office, I got a call from my hotel guy. He's like, "Sir, can you please come back to the room because your tap is open." I'm like, "I did not open my tap."
Your tap is open.
Yeah, my bathroom water tap was open. I was like, "No, they didn't." So I told him, "Okay, I have some work. You can take the keys from me." And so I reached the smart city office, and at that point, he also arrives. And with him, a couple of cops arrived, and they're like, "Please come with us." I was like, "Kya ho gaya?" So they did not explain to me. So they take me to the police station, and I'm sitting over there, and nobody's helping me out. I'm like completely confused. Why have they got me here? And I'm just sitting over there, and they've taken away my phone and stuff. So I'm sitting. After some time, somebody comes in shouting, "Are, how can they do this? How can they do this?" And then
right.
I'm like, "Kya ho gaya hai, pata nahi." So finally they reveal that somebody has tagged a wall in a Islamic font.
Okay.
Okay. Like, that's what I do. I write my name as Maktub on the wall.
All right.
In an Arabic font. And people over there could not understand what is this. You know, it's not even English.
Right.
So they kind of got scared.
Okay.
And it was election season. So people were like, "This is some terrorist threat which is happening," and you know, people started interpreting it in very different wrong ways.
Right.
So just behind my back, all this happened, and the cops got me over there. And then finally, I had to make a call to the smart city CEO to explain to him, "Boss, this is the situation."
Right.
And so he had to come there, and it was very, very embarrassing with him next to me and looking at the footage, because I did not notice it, by the way, but the house on which I tagged belonged to the guy who was selling CCTVs in the entire city. So obviously he had his own house CCTV'd. So yeah, on the footage, I'm like, you know, like a graffiti artist with my hood. Tagging, and then the smart city CEO is also asking, "Sir, ye kya kar rahe? What are you doing over here?" I'm like, "I can't explain you, but this is nothing. I don't mean any harm and stuff. And I'm an artist. Look at this, my portfolio. I'm doing this, that." Then they released me, but they were like completely. And the guy whose house it was, he came there. He was like, "I'll not leave this guy, this, that." So they had it whitewashed and all everything. Right. But that was kind of scary at that point.
So the problem that arises is the messaging or the perceived messaging as opposed to the actual tagging of a wall. Yeah.
Yes.
Is tagging
both of these things.
Oh, both of these things.
That was completely, like, you know, new to them. Like, why would somebody tag a wall like this?
Right.
Like that too in the middle of the night, and that too with this Islamic font. Why would you do that? So there was a mixture of, it's a cocktail of, like, it's the worst situation you want to be in, probably.
Yeah, I can imagine. But, you know, Zain, thank you so much for taking the time out to do this. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And can you tell us, for all the artists out there who want to reach out to you and Wicked Bros, what is the best way to reach out to you?
The best way to reach out to us is on our website. There's an email ID which is given, which is sales@wickedbros.com.
Okay.
Or probably you can also WhatsApp me on 888-777-95823. Awesome. I'll have you added to our Street Art United communities, which are present in Mumbai, Delhi, and Dehradun as of now. Or you can follow us on Instagram if you just want to see our work or just chat with us. You can also follow our projects, Ladies First Street Art or Marol Art Village, to also see what are the kind of stuff we are doing.
Awesome. Thank you so much for doing this, Zain. Have a good day.
Thank you so much, Parag. Thank you so much for having me, and best of luck to the rest of your podcast. Awesome. Because this has been an absolutely, I completely loved the questions, by the way, like very well prepared and very well asked, spot on questions, which have kind of highlighted the scene in the right way. And I hope I've done justice representing the community. So look forward to seeing this on the web whenever. And yeah, look forward to also meeting you sometime in person.
Looking forward to it, Zane. Thanks again.
Yes.